Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Out of My Mind podcast. This is your host, Keith Crosby, and this podcast is about taking a look at the crazy world around us through the lens of Scripture, which is to say a biblical worldview. Today's topic has to do with the state of the church. It particularly comes to the forefront of my mind with the passing from this earthly life into glory of Pastor John MacArthur. During my time in seminary, getting my master's in divinity, and when I returned from my doctorate to the master's seminary, you could count on hearing this passage in chapel at least once during your time. And if I had to say, if John MacArthur had a signature passage, this would be it. A passage any expositor would love to hear opened and explained time and time again for encouragement and for motivation. And here it is. It's 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 5. This is the Apostle Paul writing to Timothy. I charge you in the presence of God and of Jesus Christ, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. As I prepare sermons and preach, I hear John MacArthur, or maybe the Apostle Paul, whispering that in my ear. And I have to say, it fires me up pretty good. And I have to say, it applies to this time as much as it has applied to any other time in history. What do I mean by that? My church is in San Jose, California. Most of my listeners are in San Jose, California, for that matter. That said, this is one of the most secular places in the United States. Northern California, the San Francisco Bay Area, is a very secular, godless place to minister. And by the grace of God, there are tons of churches here. Now, not all churches are created equal, and churches are what they are by the grace of God and the Word of God. I've served at Hillside Church for 9 years. It was 9 years the week before last. I celebrated my 9th anniversary here. And in those 9 years, I have seen the evangelical churches in this area decline. They've declined through compromise. Compromise by pastors capitulating to the desires of their congregation and the desires of their culture. It's described in 2 Timothy 4:3. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. Well, that's pretty much the state of things here, and I'm sure elsewhere. It's not just unique to this context. And to be clear, it's not like people are sacrificing chickens on the altars around here or something obvious like that. It's far more subtle. You see Christians deconstructing. You see people who say they're Christians, they're always learning but never able to arrive at the truth. They deny the power of Christ, although they profess belief, they deny the power of the gospel. And they do it, and like I said, in subtle ways, and ways maybe not so subtle if you pay attention. I recently came off of watching 4 episodes of ABC's expose or documentary on Amanda C. Riley. It was a series entitled Scamanda. I was a fan of the original podcast, and I also watched the television documentary as well online. I also watched some time back a documentary on the destruction or the self-implosion, the self-destruction of Hillsong Church in New York City. One thing that was apparent was that both of those congregations were somewhat undiscerning, and if the people interviewed for each documentary were any reflection on the teaching of those two churches, you knew that those churches were bound to succumb to the culture around them and to things I like to call bright, shiny objects that really don't matter. In the Scamanda documentary, one of the people interviewed talked about how when they came into the church, you know, it was this incredible experience. It was like a concert, and that there was fog and there were lasers and this incredible environment. You had the same thing commented on the documentary on Hillsong's implosion in New York City. Can you imagine that at Pentecost when the Apostle Peter stepped up to preach to a crowd that had once shouted, "Crucify him, crucify him," and ended up saying to him at the end of his sermon, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And to which he called them to repentance and to believe the gospel. You wonder what kind of laser show the Apostle Paul said he relied on when he said, "I want to know nothing but Christ crucified." Now, we have the whole Bible. They didn't back then. We have the Holy Spirit. They did back then. We have lasers and they don't. Who cares? But more and more churches are gearing up for experience. This is nothing new. They have laser shows, light shows, cooking classes, things like that. You just wonder what in the world is going on. In the Hillsong documentary, some of the church members expressed surprise. Some of the church leaders did, that their church didn't believe in homosexual marriage. Where was the teaching there? Preaching the word in season and out of season, exhorting with great patience. What's happening with all these laser shows, and I'm not putting people down, I'm just criticizing their choices about being more concerned with lights and smoke and stuff like that rather than doctrine or the Bible or the Word of God. And the fact of the matter is many of these churches are preaching what John MacArthur, and frankly what Jack MacArthur, John MacArthur's father, used to describe as sermonettes for Christianettes. And what do you get with all this? You get moral failure by leaders. You get church members perpetually in therapy because the pastors don't minister to, counsel, or care for their sheep. They subcontract the job out. You get scamanda. You get undiscerning preachers and undiscerning congregations who are up for the next great thing. They want an experience. They don't want truth. They don't want to be confronted by the Word of God via the Holy Spirit pricking their conscience. They want what they want, and their pastors had better give it to them, or their pastors are going to be without congregations or jobs. There's an old saying in ministry, whatever it takes to get them there is what you're going to have to do to keep them there. What we're seeing today is more like or less a hangover from the emergent movement and the seeker-sensitive movement, where you have this sizzle and glitz, and you open the doors wide, and you dumb down the sermons, and you bring the people in and hope you can disciple them later, but that bait and switch does not work. Now, the good news is, by God's grace, some people do get saved, and they go to these churches for a while, and then guess what happens? They go somewhere else to be fed, to be spiritually nourished, to be discipled, to be edified, to be equipped to make sense of their existence through the lens of Scripture and not through the lens of experience. We've seen it here at Hillside Church. We get people from all these other churches because sooner or later, their church starts watering down the message, appealing to the culture, going woke, becoming tolerant, using tolerant as an excuse to allow any sort of sexual deviance or preferences. They talk about loving the sinner and hating the sin, but they really don't love the sinner because they tolerate the sin and they hate the sin, but they don't ever challenge the sinner to repent and to change, nor do they take them by the little pinky and guide them through the process of change. It's a rock concert every Sunday, or, you know, some poem and a funny story and 3 points and a happy ending. Kind of a New Ager's Wayne Dyer, "I'm okay, you're okay," adapted for Christianity message. The pastors are more worried about beautiful teeth, beautiful hair, beautiful skin, and a delivery that doesn't challenge anybody too much, but keeps things light. And that's why some people call it Christian light. But sooner or later, there's a problem, and these churches shatter, and they split, and their people go elsewhere, often for good reason, and often through the providence and sovereignty of God, they are led out of these places into real churches. Getting back to John MacArthur, I think that's why he resonated with so many people and offended so many people, because he was blunt. He took a passage like 2 Timothy 4:1-5, and he unpacked it and explained what it meant, and he called out movements and people at times. As one critic said, he wasn't flashy, he wasn't charismatic in the sense that he drew people to his natural personality. He wasn't particularly good-looking, and he wasn't particularly super articulate, but what he was a faithful preacher of the Word of God. John MacArthur joked about that criticism and said, "It's all true, but I wish he could have said it nicer." Well, sort of flipping that script, I think what I'm saying about churches that have capitulated to culture and have their laser shows and their cooking classes and their fog and mirrors and all this sort of me, experience-driven stuff, is that maybe my criticism is harsh, but it's true. And so I guess the question is, what do you do with this? Well, number one, are you in a church that has the Jumbotron and has close-ups and all this sort of stuff, or the church where it's sizzle and glitz and laser shows and fog, but the preaching is Christian light? Get out of there. You don't have to come to Hillside Church, but just find a Bible-teaching church. It may not be as flashy, and it may not have as much so-called excellence as your church. Well, go to a mediocre church that teaches the Bible and make it a better church. But don't expect to bring mirrors and smoke and fog in there. Here's another thing. If you're in a church that preaches the Word of God and it's not the fanciest or the biggest, so what? Thank God for your pastor, thank God for your leaders, and pray for them. And if you're in any way offended by my critique of lasers and stuff like that, and I don't know, ask yourself why. Really, why does that bother you? Does it touch a nerve? Am I being harsh? Well, listen, Jesus was pretty harsh at times. We like to think of him as a warm, fuzzy, do-nothing hippie who really didn't challenge people, but he really did challenge people. He called sinners to repentance. He challenged legalistic religious authorities. He challenged the Sadducees. And you know, the Sadducees were the loosey-goosey people of that time. They didn't believe the whole Bible. They picked and chose what they believed, much like people do today. So what is the state of the church? The state of the church is good, the real church, not the fake churches, the real churches. Because Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. You know what? His church is growing and thriving. Maybe not in the United States, but in the global South, you know, Latin America, Africa, Asia. But it's also thriving in a place near you. And you need to find one of those spiritually thriving, healthy churches and go there. It's time maybe for some of us to get serious about our faith, to get serious about biblical change, and to find churches that, as Paul said to Timothy, preach the word in season and out of season, whether that's popular or not. Well, I think I've ranted enough today. Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed the podcast, like us on whatever platform you listen on. Give us a 5-star rating. Tell your friends about us. Send the link. We need that help. We want to get the word out. Thank you for listening. If you have questions, you can email me at keithcrosby@yahoo.com. keithcrosby@yahoo.com. In the meantime, may God bless you and God keep you.